The epistle reading today is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 3 to 13. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed," and no one can say, "Jesus is Lord," except by the Holy Spirit. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of services, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of powerful deeds, to another prophecy, to another the discernment of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, today is Pentecost, like I said, and while you can't tell, there's a little bit of red here, but for those close enough, those are Wonder Woman socks. I tell you, I don't even know how or why it works that way, but you just feel empowered when you're wearing Wonder Woman socks. Now, at the end of the service, you'll say, maybe you should get two pairs, Laura, because you probably need to wear twice as many as you think. But for right now, I'm feeling incredibly blessed by God to be here with you today. This scripture that comes from Acts is such a powerful scripture, and I know it's long, just like the one that Charlie read, and yet both of them work together so well to remind us that, just like the saying goes, none of us is an island, but especially in the body of Christ. And while we feel that communion here, we join with our sisters and brothers around the globe today, all of us reminding ourselves that we truly are one in the Spirit of God. From the book of Acts, hear the word of the Lord. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them the ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven and in Jerusalem, and at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It's powerful. It's a little intimidating. It's so powerful, to at least to me. It feels like there is just so much there, and sometimes I miss it. However, I'm so thankful that God has created so many ways for us to see that power and to remember that it all comes from God. As many of you know, I just returned from vacation. I know it's been almost 3 weeks, but it seems like just not too long ago. I drove about 3,000 miles total, and sometimes through the night, because just like the saying, sometimes the hotels were filled. Graduation time, you know. There were two things that got me through. Two CD soundtracks that made it through with me and propelled me on. The first one was a soundtrack to Hamilton. I listened to that, and you know, while you're driving, it's really hard to change CDs, so I would listen to one disc probably 4 or 5 times. I can almost do it. And then another time when I had a long trip, it was the soundtrack to Les Miserables. And the same thing happened. I listened to each disc probably 4 or 5 times straight in a row, over and over. I love the stories behind both of those musicals because both of them come from history. Oh, we know how it goes. When plays are made, some things are changed around, but both of those stories were created from what truly happened. The story of Les Mis is a story of independence. The story of Hamilton is the story of independence. And at the same time, both of them dependence on each other. They're powerful, powerful stories, both of them. And to me, the thing that I love about Hamilton is that as it came out, and it was an all-black cast, it almost had two meanings, didn't it? The independence that the Americans sought and the freedom that black people seek today. This passage in Scripture speaks to both of those instances. It reminds us that God has created this world and God has created every person in it, and God calls all of us good. I love the stories that I hear from women and men who work in neonatal units and in birthing units, and how they will tell of the sheer joy of what happens, because it's a reminder that each one of us belongs to God. Each one of us belongs to God. And God smiles. And God embraces all of us. Along the way, we come into obstacles and tragedies, some of them more than we can even speak. And yet God is there to remind us, oh, my heart is breaking with you, but I will never let you go. Never. Those two musicals reminded me of that as I traveled. The fact that I know all the words to most of those two musicals is just what happens when I stick a tape in my CD player in my car. I very seldom change it. Sometimes other people are with me and they'll say, don't you have something else? You know, we've kind of listened to that four times in a row. Well, yeah, here's Les Mis. Let's do that one. Pentecost comes to us to remind us that if all of us gathered together thought the resurrection of Jesus was something, watch this. Please don't hear me say I'm not downplaying the resurrection. Without the resurrection, we wouldn't be here. But the resurrection was God's way to say, here we go, hang on, because this is something. In this passage that I read to you, the first thing that we saw was this incredible list of the nations, all of the nations from that area. The mission of the Jerusalem church is not just for the people of Jerusalem or Israel. Now it is a mission that is universal, and it goes out to everyone. I know sometimes people think that we've used the word inclusivity too much, and yet it's right here. God is telling us everyone is invited, everyone is welcome. There is no one that we cast out from the love of God. No one. Did you hear all the inclusive language? Remember, at the time this was written, pretty much there was like one ruling class, and the men from that class ruled. Now, please don't hear me say that was horribly wrong. Sometimes we kind of have to have a running start. But in this passage that I read to you, this is how inclusive it was. It said, your sons and your daughters. Can you imagine how liberating that was for all of the women who heard that? Because many of them met Jesus. They knew Jesus. They worshiped with Jesus. And they were there to proclaim the love of God, just as the men. Your sons and your daughters. And then, in case we missed it, when it talked about the servants, both male and female, it talked about the young and the old. The realm of God is not just for the young who are injecting life. And it's not just for the old who have been here a long time. It's for both. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 1 through 21 says, we all belong. We all belong. Now, as we read through this, the observers, it tells us, let me go back here. It tells us in verse 6, and at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered. It tells us in verse 7, amazed and astonished, bewildered, amazed and astonished. And then later on in verse 12, all were amazed and perplexed. That lets us, well, we listen to it and we read it. Okay, we get it. And as much as I, number one, I can't read Greek. But when we go back to the original Greek and we see what those words really were, listen to how powerful they were. In the Greek terms, it said that the people were confused. They were in an uproar. They were beside themselves. They were undone. They were blown away. They were thoroughly disoriented, and they were completely uncomprehending. Do you see the difference in those? Amazed and confused, oh, yay. You know, we stick amazed in there. They're happy, a little confused, but happy. That's kind of how I live most of my days, a little confused, but I try to be happy. But in the original Greek, these terms are powerful. It helps us understand how important this time was. Because if you've ever been in the midst of an uproar, well, then you probably never taught fifth or sixth grade, let me tell you. I can tell you what an uproar is, especially this weekend. I taught school on the west side of Indianapolis, and which was the best place in the world, especially this weekend, especially. And for those of you who are thinking, what? Well, you know, it's race day. It's race day. And my school sat precisely between the speedway and the airport. Here's the coolest thing ever. The sound that a blimp makes is so distinctive that a fifth grader can spot it like that. And they'll go, Miss Helm, the blimp. And so we would all go outside, because one of the things I didn't know until I taught, if you are on the ground and the blimp is way up in the air and you talk, they can hear you and they will answer you. It's the coolest thing ever. If you haven't taught in a fifth grade class in the month of May on the west side of Indy, you don't understand what an uproar is. You don't understand, maybe quite as well, what being thoroughly disoriented or completely uncomprehending can be. But these are powerful words. It was the reaction of all of the people who were present at this time in Acts. And we've kind of watered them down to bewildered, amazed, and astonished, amazed, and perplexed. It's almost like they stuck the word amazed in there to make us feel pretty good about it. Amazed, but a little perplexed. Amazed, but astonished. Well, see, those are kind of two good words. But to really understand what was happening, it helps us know they were beside themselves. They were blown away, and they were completely undone. That's how powerful this experience was for the people living at that time. And then we see why. This was during a Jewish festival. And the Jewish festival commemorates the giving of the law. Moses gives the Ten Commandments. But Jesus brings a completely new dimension to that, because now resurrection is involved. And now we have liberation, not only from slavery, but because of the resurrection, liberation from death. It's like God took it up a notch. Not only are you free in the realm of heaven, you also have defeated death. I love that. And then we realize in verse 17, in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Pentecost is the coming of the Holy Spirit. Now, when I say coming, the Holy Spirit was always there. God, the three in one, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they were always there. But God knows that we need to find out things in bits and pieces. And so the final piece was for the kingdom of God to understand that the Holy Spirit is here. Is it chaotic? Do we lose all control? Well, yes. It's very chaotic. And for those that really like order, it's very disturbing, true? For people that have to live in a certain way because that's how God made them. See, we need both. We need the people that bring the order, and we need the people that bring the chaos. It's uncomfortable sometimes. but the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit now says to all of those gather, I have come to bring freedom. I have come to explain to you what God really means. And I also have come to just crumble the walls of respectability that you knew. It's the respectability that all communities live in. And the Holy Spirit says, that's such a nice plan. And I almost kind of imagine how the Holy Spirit will kind of look at us and go, oh, bless your hearts. That's so sweet that you think that that's the way it's going to work. But it really isn't. I have come for freedom for all. And so all people of all ages, all people of all genders, and all people of all status are now one in the Spirit, just like we sang. We're one in the Spirit of God. So we think about how long ago this happened. What does it mean for us today? How do we take this passage? How do we take this day that is so important in the life of the church and make it relevant for us here and now? One way is to help us be open to the wildness of the Spirit. That's scary sometimes because the wildness can go where it wants to go and do what it wants to do. It restores even when we don't think something needs to be restored. It fixes and it changes. The gift of the Holy Spirit, the birthday of the church, invites all of those on the outside to let them know you're welcome here. All are welcome. And God, in the infinite wisdom of God, says, even if you say no to me, well, I'm just going to keep going. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep coming around, and I'm going to keep putting the people of God in your path, not to preach, not to chastise, not to tell you how you're all wrong. I am putting the people in your path to love you. To love you. Because the God I serve is a God of love. Sometimes I need the chaos to stir it up because I get so complacent in the ways that I've always done things or the ways that I think it should be. I was the older sister. I was in charge. My sister's just down the road. She'll tell you it's true. I was in charge. And God comes to say to all of us who believe we're in charge, oh, bless your hearts, aren't you so cute? Don't you know that all are invited into the kingdom of God? All are welcome. And so for those of us in the church, this calls us to be bold, but even more than just bold, to be holy bold. H-O-L-Y, not W-A. Because that's what Peter found out. Remember? Remember what Peter did? Remember how he denied Jesus? Remember how we never really heard a sermon preached from Peter until right now in the book of Acts? If God can say to Peter, okay, now, Peter, because of the Holy Spirit in you, you have a boldness to declare the love of God to all of those around you and declare he did. Even when someone made fun of him and made fun of the gathering, Peter went on to be bold. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I love this day. I love this day because I need the reminder. I'm the one that gets complacent in how I do things and what I do. I'm the one who isn't always as loving and giving as I need to be. I know that it's a little bit controversial, but I'm sort of a Facebook addict, is my confession to you. I check Facebook 2 or 3 times a day. I don't spend a lot of time on it, except maybe at night. But I find that while there are some things that kind of disgust me and some things that make me incredibly sad, I get these bits of nuggets and I get this encouragement. I've noticed in the last couple of years, there have been many, many more posts from who we would call the mothers and fathers of the church. And then one of my former youth group kids from a town far, far away shared something just the end of last week. She didn't write it. It was something that she copied and pasted. But this is what it says. I want to be remembered for my kindness, for showing up, for giving chances, for acknowledging my own toxic traits, and for loving selflessly. If that isn't it, then I failed horribly. Remember to extend grace, because we're all just walking each other home. Now that last piece I've heard often, but I've not heard it connected to the other. To admit to each other, I am full of meanness and orneriness. I am full of toxicity. I am full of, well, just bad stuff. And yet, I believe in a God who reminds me more times than just Pentecost that I've been created in the image of God. I have been created with the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And so I want to be remembered for my kindness, for showing up, for giving chances, for acknowledging my own toxic traits, and for loving selflessly. On this Pentecost Sunday, may we hang on to the promises of Jesus Christ. May we remember that God is with us, that the Holy Spirit is in us, and we all are just walking each other home. May we do it in peace and grace. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast from Wabash Presbyterian Church. For more sermons and resources, please visit us at wabashpresbyterian.com.